you're there at a wedding of a guy you've taught since before high school, right? And like the guys like the Bobby Wyatts that every Christmas still comes by my house and sits and has a rum drink with me on the porch or on the couch. Like, those are the cool things that nobody sees.
Hey folks, Captain Juice here. If you want to catch a tarpon, come see me with Shadowcaster Charters. If you want to get better at golf, which we all do, follow the Dew Sweeper at Dew Sweeper TV.
All right, so joining me here now on the tour coach is my good friend and one of my lifelong mentors. I didn't even bring up Brian Kelly in the firing yesterday. We got all kinds of football we could talk.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable, right?
I mean, Smiley and I were texting yesterday a little bit. I mean, oh, my gosh. Crazy. So I'm doing better than him. I can tell you that.
Right? Well, no. I mean, when they're going to write you that big of a check to not come to work, I mean, I kind of like Coach O's when Coach O was there before Kelly. They asked Coach O what he thought about it. He said, now, wait a minute. They're going to pay me $15 million and not show up. Where's the door? I mean, come on.
Well, I was saying to somebody last night, I said, I damn sure wish guys coaching on tour when you got fired, you got a package. Like, any of them could have fired me for 15 million. I'm in. Go to the next guy. Anyways, Mark Wood, one of the great teachers in the game, my lifelong friend and mentor, and I took my first golf lesson from him when I was 17. So 54 minus 17 is 37 years ago.
How about that?
And it was pretty close to this time. The only reason I remember is it was in the fall. I remember it was football season, and it wasn't long before Thanksgiving, because I remember when my dad brought me up there to your place, to Lakeside, yep. Right? And that was, you know, and I always say, like, I'd had a bunch of little lessons, but that was my first exposure to what I would call a real golf lesson and a real instruction, where you filmed me, you sat me down, you explained what I needed to do and what I was going on. And it's changed so much now, because I mean, when I left that lesson, or later on when I went off to St. Mary's, like, I couldn't text you a video.
No,
right? Like, I had to like really try to remember what you told me and stick with it and try to figure it out. And then I remember I went and saw you down at Innisbrook, you know, in middle of school. And
yeah.
And I always tell you that fostered my love of doing it, because that was the first time I remember sitting there. I probably shouldn't say I was drinking a beer, but I was drinking a beer and you were going over old VHS tapes with a dry erase marker on a TV in your living room. So it's been a long time, and thanks for all your help.
You know, and that's, it's crazy, but I mean, you know, those are the best times, things that I remember all the time. I had it the other day. There's a member at Carmel Country Club. I mean, I've known him since he was 8 years old.
Mm.
I mean, Mason Petty, and it's crazy, right? To watch him, you know, he turns into a nice high school player, and then he plays in college and plays professionally. I mean, and he is a dear friend of mine. So, I mean, you know, golf has afforded both of us the luxury of spending a bunch of time around some really, really neat people. And it's for sure changed our lives.
No question about it. And what brought this on, you know, I'd been telling Wayno and a bunch of people, I need to get you on. I hadn't had you on in a while. But we were at a good friend of ours, Tom Ness, who passed away. We were at a reception, and by the way, your eulogy or your speech on Saturday morning was beautiful, emotional, hard to not get teared up listening to it.
Thank you.
But you know, Friday night there at Hawks Ridge, and everybody talking and telling stories, you said you were the luckiest guy in the room, which I really echoed my sentiment. Because I always tell people, like, I'm the luckiest in that I really believe. I mean, I know there's a lot of teaching trees out there, but the teaching tree that I'm a small part of, that I come from, which is Hank and you and Wayne, and then the whole Golf Digest tree, is a pretty damn good one. And I think I'm proud of it. I mean, to be honest, like, I'm proud to have learned under you guys. And I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on why you know, tell some of those stories, but like, because I think those stories can not only help teachers, but they can also help people that want to get better. So, you know, we have both sides that listen to this thing, you know, other than my parents and Yvonne that listen to it to run our numbers up. But, you know,
my old radio show got
it. Yeah. So, I mean, what did you mean by being the luckiest guy?
Well, you know, I told the story and, you know, I used it a little bit when I was paying my respects to our friend, Tom, that, you know, the circle of life was crazy because I met Tom when I just graduated high school and I had a job as a counselor in the Golf Digest Junior Schools. And Tom he didn't do all the schools, but he did a couple of them. And that's where I first met him. So when I first met those guys, Chuck Cook and Jim Flick and Bob Toski and Davis Love, I mean, those guys were idols to me. I mean, and it changed the way I looked at golf, but not only as a player, I made the decision, I want to do that. And then, you know, Davis helped me, you know, told me, Woody, you need to go to Alabama. And, you know, if I was lucky enough to be able to make the team and good enough, you know, lucky enough to be able to play a little bit. But he said, you need to be a better player if you're going to teach better players. And and I remember saying to him, I mean, this is back in the 80s. I said, well, there's plenty of teachers that aren't very good players. He says, well, but if you're going to teach really, really good players, you got to be able to do it yourself. You got to be able to put a club in your hand, go play golf. And it looked like real golf. And so, you know, they start out as my idol. And then they turned into my mentor because they helped shape what I did as a young golf professional, even though I hadn't turned professional yet, but as a young man, they became my mentor. You know, I was then lucky enough then to get asked to teach with Golf Digest and they became my colleague. So they've gone from my idol to my mentor to my colleague. And then after being able to work side by side, they became my friend. And I mean, the stories and the life lessons that they shared with me, because I was the young guy on the staff, it was amazing. And so to listen to you tell that story and you know, I mean, I meet you as a high school player and you know, you go on to play college golf and become a really nice teacher and very famous teacher. You've done unbelievable. What you've done is spectacular. And to say that I had a little bit to do with it is very heartfelt. I mean, I take it, I'm very proud of that. And, you know, I think that you should be too, because of the people that are now in your life that you're helped mentoring along that become colleagues, friends, et cetera. I mean, look, our friendship is, you know, 37 years in the making. And you know, God love us. We've had a bunch of great time and shared.
We've had some fun. And,
I mean, that's the fun part of the game. That's why I do it. I mean, that's 100% why I do it.
I tell folks all the time, like, you know, and I go back to Hank, like I remember at the night of his, when he became teacher of the year, we were at the Lucky Leprechaun and I picked the place too. Right. Yeah. And everybody's having a good time. And he pulled me aside and he pointed at you and he said, you need to try to always make sure you're like Woody. That's what he said.
Wow.
Right. And that was a huge compliment, obviously coming from Hank. And, but now, like, I think, and because we were so close and I obviously I idolized you growing up, just like you idolized those guys. I had no idea, to be honest, you were as young as you were. Shit, I thought you were older. You've kind of always looked the same, a little bit more hair, but yeah, really have always looked the same. And, but now with Jackson and Morgan and Connor, who you hadn't met yet, like these young folks coming up, like, I think I enjoy the hanging out with them and watching them grow as much as I enjoy some of the nice things I get to do and some of the accolades. Like, it's like, when Morgan got that job at the Creek and I went up there and she brought me up there and all those members were raving about her, I was over the moon, Woody.
Sure you are. Because you had a you played a huge role in that. And I think that's, I mean, granted, you helped open doors. We've got had doors open for mm-hmm. and we were lucky enough to stumble through them and continue to, if you would, walk down the path. And you've done the same thing for Morgan Jackson. I mean, countless people. I mean, as you get older, it's amazing how many people that you have affected, whether you know it or not.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing for me, and then we're going to go into some instruction stuff, though, is like I went to Andy Ogletree's wedding after I left you.
Right. And Yvonne wore orange. Why?
Tennessee, and they did get beat during that wedding. But Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Just glad you were able to find a way to sneak that in there. I knew it was coming. But you can just throw me off any of that. But like you're there at a wedding of a guy you've taught since before high school, right? And like the guys like the Bobby Wyatts that every Christmas still comes by my house and sits and has a rum drink with me on the porch or on the couch. Like those are the cool things that nobody sees, right? But so if you look at all the people, and I was listening to you and you're talking about all those people at that dinner the night, you know, I told a little Ness story and I was just fascinated listening to everybody. Give me a little golf insight or a lesson that you've learned from some of those great Golf Digest people, like a little piece, like of something where you say, hey, you know, just a little insight into each of those. I think that would be great insight because within this Instagram world we live in and YouTube and shit, I'm to blame as anybody. I put a bunch of shit out now. I know it. But like, I think we miss sometimes the point of all of some of these simple things where golf to me was turned way easier to do, way more simple from all these great teachers.
You know, I think what you've done is, I have no problem. I make fun of myself all the time that I'm very average, but I just happen to hang around a bunch of really, really great people. So I'm a potpourri of everybody. So I got a little Paul Runyon in me. I got a little Bob Toski in me. I got a little Jack Lumpkin in me. I got a little Chuck Cook in me. I mean, and they all did it a little different. So I think that was the thing that opened my eyes. There's a bunch of different ways to play this game. And you know, just look at the guys on tour and
right.
You know, there's plenty of different ways to do it. And I think that was one of the things that, you know, Chuck Cook always talked about the balanced approach, that you just had to balance things out. And if you could balance things out, you could get the player to play better. I mean, you know, we used to tell a story all the time about Judy Rankin coming to Bob Toski and in the height of her career, you know, and Judy had a horrible grip per se, and Bob taught around it and it made her just a fantastic player. And then you would watch all these different players come in and get help, you know, but you take that. I mean, Jim Flick obviously played a huge role in my life, and I've never seen anybody that always put the student first. There was zero ego with him. And now there's an ego on the inside, but you would never know it as the student. And, you know, he was always very thankful of people coming back. And, you know, he always was very down to earth. And I always loved that. I mean, I admired that. I thought that was great. And then you had guys like, you know, Chuck, who I think, and Ness, two of the smartest teachers ever. And
yeah.
So you get, there's a different side, a different way to do it. All very successful. So I wanted to be a sponge. I wanted to learn from all of them. And you know, with that, then, you know, you kind of build your own, if you're your own kind of way to do it and get others to do it. You know, look, I was very fortunate to hang around you long enough, and where you explained how there's a target line and a rope, and how, you know, you put some stuff on the ground, and I mean,
did you pick that up from me?
I did. I
thought so.
I stole it a lot. I mean, I use it to this day. I mean, I can't thank you enough.
I don't know if I've told you this other one that I came up with.
Okay,
what? But I've actually used it in an article recently, Mason.
Okay.
About how the back of your left wrist is like a GPS. If you were going to start, I don't know. Have you heard that?
I haven't ever heard that. Explain it to me. I'd like to hear more of it.
Yeah. So if you're struggling with club face control, if you think of the back of your left wrist like a GPS, I mean, if you were going to Starbucks, Woody, you'd have to put Starbucks in your phone, right? In your GPS. It'd tell you.
Never thought of it like that.
No, I knew you hadn't. So that's why I wanted to explain it. And so the back of your left wrist is like a GPS. I've turned so much of your shit into good content. I probably owe you at least one steak dinner.
At least a beer somewhere.
At least a beer. So, you know, one comment from the dinner that I found fascinating. I'd been around him a couple times, but never spent much time with John Elliott. Great teacher, right?
Unbelievable.
And
he did it differently.
Right. And so I thought it was really interesting because I've never been one that, like, at some of the gatherings things, I don't like to get into the arguing and all that, you know, how some teachers do, right? And when he started talking about the old digest meetings and how he didn't argue, he just sat there and listened.
Yeah.
And figured he could take something from each person that might one day help him with the guy in front of him. Right. Yeah. And like, I wrote that in my phone. I was like, man, that was like to me, cause like, you know, I've been to these things and we go to these coaching summits and I'm not even going to name the people, but like, it's like a pissing contest to prove who's smarter. Right. Or who's got different maybe. Like, I just want to go talk to people that love what they're doing and try to learn something that might help me with, might be a tour pro. It might be a 15 or 18 handicapper, doesn't matter. I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant piece of information from him.
Yeah. And you know, look, John was he was a wonderful player.
Right.
And, you know, competed at the highest level, played a little on tour. And and he was able to help really good players, loved hanging out with him because he was a really good player. And, you know, he was always very, very simple and you know, could get players to play better. And that shit, at the end of the day, that's all we're trying to do is get them to play better. What button do you got to push to get this guy to play better? And it's not always the same button, right? And you got to have multiple ways to try to get the same thing done. And it's interesting. A guy said this to me the other day. I was teaching and he's like, you know, you've said this. And I don't know what I said. He says, you've said that hundreds of times, but I've never heard you.
Wow.
I now get it. I now get why that matters to you so much. And it was interesting. He's like, you know, look, there's times that I wasn't ready to listen. I heard it, but I wasn't ready to listen.
That's awesome right there. So, that's good stuff.
You know, that's the stuff that you keep sharing what you're sharing with the young teachers and you know, they I do the same thing. I think they get themselves worked up into a rabbit hole that there's only one way to do something and everybody's got to do it the same way. And, you know, and look, I have a hard time, you know, the information is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, but
how
applicable is it? Right. Mm-hmm. And I use an analogy to people all the time. I'm like, look, pal, you're sitting in physics class. You can't add yet. You don't deserve to be in physics. Okay. Go figure out how to add. Okay. Then we'll take you into geometry. Then you'll go in, then you're going to go into algebra and then you're going to go into physics, but you're not going to just start at physics.
Right.
You're not good enough yet. And it's not that you won't be, but you're trying to do stuff you can't do yet.
I remember, I went to Hank one time asking him something. I can't remember what it was, but I was trying to figure something out and I asked him and he said, you need to quit trying. I said, so if X happens, that means I can do Y with the person, right? You know, you could see me doing that, right? I'm like, So Hank, so if I, and he said, you need to quit trying to memorize the answers to the test questions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was the best at the English language. He could hold court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with anybody. I mean, he was such a wonderful communicator, and people loved him, right? But he would say things, and look, the story I told on Ness, and
yeah,
those are the things that made a difference. But that was the way he was, and I can remember I had plenty of times where I had to close the door behind myself when Hank said, "You need to come in here." I'm like, "Yeah, this ain't gonna be good, but all right." So,
what are some of the things you picked up from Ness, Tom Ness?
So Tom, which is interesting, you know, in the where people were making nice remarks about him, you know, Tom got very, very involved in the golf machine and mm-hmm. spent a bunch of time with Ben and was a master, I guess they call it a master instructor for the golf machine. And so Tom was, and he loved sharing. So, you know, he helped me understand the golf machine better and how to apply some of the information that was in there. So he could take it. He could take a very, very complex issue and dumb it down. So, you know, just like loading patterns, where do you want to snap load? You want to float load? I mean, how are you going to load the gun? And it was interesting when Tom would explain it, because he had the ability to dumb it down, so even knuckleheads like me could understand it. But he loved learning. I mean, he loved it. Had more fun than anybody. And, you know, so when you'd have a question or you'd have a situation that you didn't really understand very well, Tom would love to help you come in and understand. I had him plenty of times. He came to the academy when I first opened it at Grand Oaks in the late 90s. He came and helped all my instructors, and he spent 2 or 3 days. I did that 2 or 3 times. He would come in. I love, and you've done it too. I loved having teachers come in and share their knowledge, how they do things. And I think it's a wonderful way to learn. And I wish more of the young teachers would do more of that.
Same thing. I went to Hank one time. We have a young teacher working for us, Connor, who did very similar, but I called him and I said, "Hank, I bought the golf machine book." And he said, "You need to throw it away." And I said, "Why?" He goes, I'll never forget. He goes, "You're not smart enough right now to deal with it."
I mean,
and he said, "It's going to mess you up with your students." He said, "Put it in a drawer." I said, "Okay." So I did. Then about 6-8 months later, he was down there at Sandusky. And, you know, I'd obviously already, this was after, I think I had gone and, you know, I'd met Ness and all that. And one day he told me, he goes, "If you want to learn the golf machine," he said, "just go spend some time with him. Then you'll learn it, but you'll learn it in a way you can apply it to people."
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was like the great thing. Tom was such a great resource for me, which I still do these things. Obviously, you know, he's passed, but like I could send him videos.
100%.
If I sent him 1,000 videos of Bobby Wyatt over the years, right? And he would tell me, he would just send you back 2-3 words of what he thought.
What he liked, what he didn't like.
Right. And he'd be like, "If he wants to hit a draw, this is the matchup you wanted. If he wants to hit a fade, this is blah, blah, blah." I think that's a part of teaching that, you know, everybody's kind of out there on their own islands now. I've always tried to do, and I mean, I'm not embarrassed by it. Like, I've sent you 4 trillion videos over the years, right?
Wayne, 100%, right?
You know, all everybody, right? And like, now I think I have a small group that I trust. I'm not just going to send it to anybody.
That's right.
But, you know, people that you could trust that'll give you their opinion. I think that's healthy for a teacher. And if I was a player, I would want that. I'd want my teacher bouncing things off of people that are good, trying to figure out how to help.
So a perfect example is one of your students, and you couldn't be more proud of him, and I couldn't be more proud of him, is Emilio Gonzalez.
Right.
So Emilio lives here in Charlotte.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've got him helped him get hooked up. He's out at Charlotte Country Club, part of their tour, hopefully. Doesn't have to be hopeful anymore. He's got a tour card. He finished third on the Corn Ferry Tour. But Emilio will come out and practice, and I want to watch. I want to watch him practice. Mm-hmm. And while he's practicing, I sit there and ask him, what's Tony got you working on? He's got me working on this. And why? This is why. And how often do you do it? I do it every day. He wants me to do this 15 minutes. He wants me to do this twice a week or whatever.
How bad did I mess him up? How bad did I?
No, pal, you can't mess that kid. It's amazing how you've changed the kid's life. You met him when he was a college player, right? Now, I mean, the kid's getting ready to go play on the biggest show in the world relative to golf. I mean, that's not messing up. That's so cool. It's unbelievable. And look, you should be so proud of that. Those are the stories. You know, and look, he's got plenty of game. I expect him to have some real success out there. And when he does, he's super grounded. But it's, again, he's going from the Corn Ferry Tour to the PGA Tour. It's a different deal. He's got to learn to do that too. He learned how to be a Corn Ferry Tour player, and now he's got to learn how to be a tour player.
Yeah, and I think he understands that too. And I bet one of the cool things to me that's a great lesson for people listening that are playing golf is, 6 years ago, we started working on it, and he finally accepted working on the same two or three things for a long period of time. He's been working on the same three things versus how many students come to you or me, Woody, and they go, yeah, I did what you did last lesson. Now what's next? Right? Like, what are we going to do? Right? And like, you know, and I mean, our lessons now with Emilio and I are like, I mean, I'm going to meet him Thursday. He's going to get club fit up at Sea Island, and we're going to work a little bit. And he's, you know, we've been working on the same three things,
which is great.
Right. And we've done it better. And
super simple.
You know, and one of the biggest things he's realized too is, and this goes to his short game, his full swing, and his mental stuff that he does with Greg Cart, you know, Doc.
Yeah.
He said, I've learned to do better of keeping tabs on things and staying in contact when things are good, not just when they're bad.
Yeah, that's important, right?
I mean, and I think that's a good lesson because, like, everybody gets playing good and they're like, oh, I don't, you know, but like,
I don't need,
like,
right, I'm good.
Right? They right. only call you when the shit hits the fan and whatever. But I thought that was a pretty cool story and a good lesson for folks out there.
It's a great lesson. And he's so right because you want that. I mean, look, no matter where a guy is in his career, he's going to want to go back and see swings or have ideas of when he was playing really good or he or she, when they were playing really good, what was it? What were the things that were firing? What was not firing?
Mm-hmm.
But now there's so much information. You can find out what's happening. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, now with the force plates and the 3D and I mean, look, we definitely have the information. We know what's happening now.
You know, Hank said one of the things, and this was my last Hank quote for the night, but you'll like this. He said one of the dangers, somebody asked him, I was with him about all this stuff, and he goes, well, if you don't know what you're doing, they'll find out faster. Because when you load all that shit in there, if what you're telling them isn't true, they can figure it out.
In a heartbeat.
So you've got to be better now. I really think that's true.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I always like the one Martin Hall used to give all the time. He had some student and you know, look, we were doing those schools for Jack and Jim, and Martin, the guy hit a bad shot, and he said, what'd I do? And Martin says, why do you want to know? Do you want to do that again? Because that was horrible.
So. Oh, shit. That's so funny. Woody, you're the best. Thanks for everything. These are great stories.
Look, this is
you're
awesome.
The best.
Pal, I'm so proud of you and what you've done and what you've accomplished. And I mean, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So keep doing what you're doing. And I'm glad I'm a small part of your life.
You're a big part of it. And we're going to do some more this season. I'll see you soon, brother.
All right. You got it. Cheers. Roll Tide.
Cheers, buddy. Yeah, I'm not saying that.